Live from the J.C. Newman Cigar Studios in the great state of New Hampshire and the Gurkha Cigar Studios in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, welcome to the Smokin' Tobacco Show with your hosts, Matt Tobacco and Kevin Acuff.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Smokin' Tobacco Show. My name is Matt Tobacco from SmokinTobacco.com, and I am not joined by Kevin Acuff tonight. I am joined by someone who is just as equally special. And very important to Smokin' Tobacco because he was there in the beginning and really helped create this whole show that we're here doing right now. This guy, what can I say? I've loved this man for a long time. He's a very special individual. You guys all know who he is. I've been accused of fat shaming him, which I'd like to go on the record and say I was trying to defend him, and my words were twisted up and thrown back against me, which we'll settle this evening. He's a man of food, he's a man of taste, and he's a man of style in multiple ways. He's a legend. He's a legend, and legends come home. And John Carney is here tonight. He's coming home. He's coming home, and I'm so happy he's here.
All right, guys, thank you for joining us tonight. That was the show. We hope you enjoyed it.
It's like old times, man. This is like this is like 4 years ago all over again.
It is,
it's just
kind
the
of
two
wild,
of us.
Right? It's kind of wild. Like, how did we get to this point?
I feel like we've come full circle.
Yeah, we have. Really glad to be back. I don't have as much time as I used to have, so I don't catch the show as often. I always catch little bits of it. Mm-hmm. But glad to be back, and it's an exciting time of the year, so we got a lot to talk about.
Oh yeah.
I'm just scanning through some Smokin' Tobacco stuff right now, so I just shared the show, so I'm looking at some comments and things on different stuff. But if anybody's got any questions, feel free to ask them.
Yeah.
I'm here to answer all things. Smokin' the Asylum 13 7x70. I've got a 9x90 April Fool's in my humidor at the house. That I haven't smoked yet. I've smoked it before, but I have a new one that I haven't smoked.
I'll say, I actually smoked a 7x70 a few weeks ago with my friend Matt. And he was over the house. If some people might remember him, he's the voice intro. He was also at PCA with us last year. And he, we have a lounge in the house and, all sorts of stuff. And he was over and we were sitting on the couch watching a movie, just smoking through stuff. And then I was like, all right, it's time for the next one. And he's like, what you thinking? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I want to do something different. And I went in, I have one drawer in one of my cabinets and it's all like big sticks, like 7x70s, like 7x80s, 8x80s and shit like that. And I'm like digging through there. And he's like, I didn't know they made cigars this big. I'm like, oh yeah, they do. And, I think it was the Room 101 7x70 that came out. I had a couple of those kicking around that we got from General. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's smoke these. And I got to say, it was fun, but it also reminded me why I don't smoke giant ring gauges all the time. Just because it's fun, but it's a little bit of work, too. But it's cool.
I found myself, I do smoke larger ring gauges than I used to. And I've noticed that some retailers are more open to smoking larger ring gauges when we have samples or whatnot. Whereas, 5-10 years ago, people were like, nah, I don't smoke any big ring gauges. It's kind of like people are giving into it a little bit. Now, 7x70 and like 9x90 is a little insane. But, it definitely has given in. People have given into it, and I have too. Like I said, I tend to smoke more big ring gauges than I used to. Coincidentally, however, I'm smoking a lot of smaller ring gauges recently just because of, my palate has just been, I've just enjoyed smoking smaller cigars. Like, I'd almost rather smoke like six small ones than smoke like two gigantic cigars. So the question is he a man of proper AI voicemail recording? I forgot about that, Tony. We had it on here. Now, my voicemail is just generic. I switched it away, but I am working with a new AI software that actually dubs my voice. So I haven't had a chance yet to utilize that, but you inspired me. Maybe tonight I'll sit down and put that on there. Yeah, Girl Dad's in the house.
That's Mitchell, right. Yep, Mitchell's also a girl dad. Hello, Barbara.
So,
wishing Barbara well. She had appendicitis this week and had some surgery. She's recovering.
Did she publicly tell people that, or did
yes, she did.
Like,
no,
there?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Yeah, she did.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure she's getting some love.
If not, I'm like, I'm not going to tell you anything that I had any type of medical conditions.
No. It was posted. Okay. Kevin did put it out there on Facebook, so it's fair game. Which, by the way, new smoke and tobacco company policy, if it goes out into the universe, it goes on the website.
It goes on the website.
I'm just gonna put that out there for everyone in the industry to take notice. If I see it elsewhere and I don't have it, it's going out.
So,
new company policy. If you want to discuss it privately, you have my phone number, you got my email. Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
So what are you smoking?
I'm smoking a cigar that is one of my favorites from La Flora, as you know. I'm smoking the 2021 TAA released in the natural. This is the... I always fuck this up. Is it the... What is it? The Tesserata de Oro? How do you say that? What's the official name for it?
There's not Palo de Oro in that.
No,
is that
but...
what you're trying to say?
No, not Palo de Oro. Wasn't it like Tessera de Oro or something like that originally?
No, it's got Criollo 99 in it.
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking of something else.
It was the first cigar we ever made.
Oh, no. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of this on the box. I'm thinking of Tessera Edición. That's what I'm fucking thinking
of. Oh, yeah. That means
that's what I'm thinking of.
That means third edition. Yeah,
yes.
Tessera. Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know. I mean, I don't fucking know what I was saying either.
It's third. Yeah, like Segunda, the second. Yeah.
But yeah, no, as you know, I love these.
I'm not smoking.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you're in a hotel room. What is that in your mouth, though? Yeah. I mean, is it?
It's a Churchill.
Looks a little thin to be a Churchill. Maybe that's just the camera. Is it a Padron? That looks like a Padron.
It's not a Padron.
Okay.
It's something I grabbed at the factory.
I
can't tell anybody what it is. Anyway, I'm just chewing on it because it's delicious. I'm gonna smoke it a little bit later tonight outdoors. I'm not disclosing my location, so I don't want any paparazzi coming around.
Of course, it's hard to be a celebrity these days.
Yeah, but I have some chocolate cigars that I'm gonna be carrying around me that have my 40th birthday cigar band on it. So I'm gonna maybe bring some to Vegas since it's not gonna be the middle of July, And so I'm going to bring some of those with me, but I have some of those with me too. So I have a couple shop visits tomorrow where people will be getting chocolate cigars with my little label on it. But yeah, so that's pretty exciting. I'm just chewing on this cigar. So yeah, we got PCA coming up. When smoking tobacco touch ground?
Touch ground in Las Vegas at Harry Reid International Airport at 9 a.m. Thursday morning, Pacific time.
Okay, cool. Do you go through a significant amount of setup to get ready, or when you're out there, you have everything bagged up and it's pretty much set down, open the bags, and you're good to go?
For the most part, I mean, a lot of what we do, we pregame, we pre-strategize, we go through all of our equipment, we make sure it's good to go. We set it up as much as we can. And then once we get out there, it's, you know, unpack it all, plug it all together, and... do a quick test run and we're good to go. So I mean it's a pretty minimal setup. We just have to really just get out there and be ready to go. And then we have to do our job right, covering the show. It's not just like walking around taking photos. It's making sure that you're diligent and you're doing what you're supposed to do and getting the right information, seeing the right people, asking the right questions. Being professional and just gathering as much resources and information so we can cover the trade show as thoroughly and properly as possible. For me, I'm going to get in Thursday. I'm going to have probably a quick, like early lunch, late breakfast. I can't check in till 3. So I think I'm just going to hang out with Kevin and Barbara. I think Kevin and I are going to go to the range because that'll be nice and maybe do a couple other things. Just kind of enjoy the day. Friday morning, we'll have a nice breakfast in Mon Ami Gabi, which is kind of like tradition. And then I don't know. We'll see what where the day takes us there. And then Saturday it's game time. So,
am I wrong with this, that it feels like there's less announcements leading up to the BCA show?
No. Nope, there are less.
I'm not wrong.
No, you're not.
There's less.
Okay. There is less. I've talked about this with my team as well as my friendly competitors. And there has been less. Now, there's still a little time. There's probably going to be a nice little... We got a bunch more announcements today. There was some other stuff that came in late yesterday. There'll probably be a couple of things tomorrow, maybe Friday. And then, of course, I expect Monday morning after the weekend, before everyone leaves the office, probably get that last hurrah from whoever still has something they want to drop. And then I think by Tuesday afternoon, I think that's it. And most people will be on their way to Vegas to start setting up their booths. So I would say by Tuesday, whatever announcements have been made, I think that's it. So yeah, not a lot, but there's probably still, some time for a little bit more, but I don't expect it to be like the last couple of years.
I think you're going to have a lot of announcements at the show.
I think so too.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, in my opinion, the way I feel about it when we're talking is, the show normally took place in July, right? Which is like right in the middle of the busiest time of the year.
Correct.
So companies are trying to get out the information as quick as possible because they want to compete for the buyers as best as possible at that moment in time. Because, waiting 1 week or waiting to the week of the show, if you're a company that has tons of turns, or depends on turns, coincidentally for us at LFD, we're not the biggest company and we're not trying to double in size. If we could double in size, we'd still grow 10%. But these larger companies are trying to grow as fast as possible. So you get a ton of info out there. General and Altidus have had several announcements, but I feel like I haven't heard a ton out of General either in terms of new items. I think it's just they're still getting out products from their release, the release schedule from last year that they already had planned. I think that's going to see the dynamic change in the way that the show changing to earlier in the year is where you're going to see announcements for the rest of the year that are made at PCA, and it's just not as big of a rush as there used to be because there's already a lot of the first quarter of the year, the business is kind of already set up, and you're kind of aware of what's coming out one way or the other. So, but I have noticed it doesn't seem like every day there's just like 20 things coming out. But that said, I think that will play a big factor in that show. I think you're going to see a lot coming in the pipeline through the actual days of the trade show. Or, as you said, next week when people leave the office on Friday, let's get this out for the show for some excitement for the people that are coming. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing, too, and I, when we get to the news segment later, I'm going to probably just read off a couple of them. But, and at that time, I'll kind of circle back to this conversation just to talk about some of the companies, and there's been a couple who've got a multiple stuff, and who I expect to still hear from. So I'll kind of recircle this in a little bit when we do that. But really quickly, I want to talk about a couple of other people that are important because they make this show happen. And the first one is our friends at twoguyscigars.com. That's right, the number two, guyscigars.com. You head over there today, you'll find an amazing selection of cigars and cigar accessories from all over the industry, including La Flor Dominicana. That's right, they carry La Flor Dominicana. Now, they did carry these once upon a time. Unfortunately, these cigars are no longer available because, they were a one and done back for in 2021 for TAA members.
Because heaven forbid when we smoke something on the show that people could actually buy.
But they do carry all of the favorites, Lennox, and all the Ligero lines, and La Volcata, and Andalusian bowls when they're available.
Coincidentally, they just brought in the Soli.
The Soli.
I had delivered that sand. Yep, they just brought that in early in the year, and it's been going great for them. So that's something that you can grab there. That's a fun cigar. That's still something that's new for us.
Yeah, I would definitely check that out. That's a cigar that Lito Jr., worked on with his brother and his dad down in the factory. That was kind of his foray into the family business. And Mitchell actually had a question about Jr. I wanted to know if you were still touring with him.
So we are still – it's funny because they just texted me. He's doing an event tonight. at a shop in Miami in Coral Gables near our office called Galliano.
Great place.
With our sales manager, Leo, down there.
Yep.
And so we are still touring. I'm not touring with him this week. He's graduated from the first phase of the John Carney School of becoming a sales manager for La Florida Minicana.
Also known as the John Carney School of Hard Knocks.
Yep. So he's graduated the first phase, so he's going to be doing some of his own trips in the next month or so. We still have some trips planned together, just different areas that we haven't done before. And obviously areas that we have strong relationships as I travel with all the sales reps. But, I mean, for all intents and purposes, yeah, he's on the road, but we're not doing the grand tour like we were. So we're not a tag team. We're not a tag team as of last week. So we will be, when we do tag team, it'll be the same way we are with our sales reps. And he's taken a great liking to the road. You know, he's very business-oriented, which is great. He really enjoys being in the retail shops. You know, he's got a really good focus on the business side of it and a real big interest in it. So he's learning every day, and it's fun to watch him. It's been great to travel with him. And, you know, I'm looking forward to him having new challenges as he travels out on his own, because it's different. And once you – traveling with me is a very different experience because I do it so much. It's easy. My wife always talks about it. She's like, I miss travel. When she travels on her own, she's like, I miss traveling, you know, because you have statuses everywhere, security. You know how airports work. You know, like, the secrets to
– Oh, I know. You know, I've traveled with
checking into checking baggage and different things. You know, I pull up in front of Orlando when I leave. And fly, and there's, you know, the sky caps, like, oh, they wave, and there's a line, and they take me to the front. You know, when the valet's full, I always have a parking spot. There's somebody at security, if I'm running late, that can get me to the front of the line, even if I have clear, you know, if it's backed up. So traveling with me is a very different thing, and, you know, I don't wait in lines to pick up cars, which people are like, oh, that's a great, Bernie, I heard traveling is very tough.
It can be. If you can't keep up. If you can't keep up, yeah. I learned that lesson the hard way the first time.
So the big thing is, you know, just getting used to those types of things. And then when everything hits the fan and goes bad, you know, what do you do with it? So, you know, he's going to learn those things. He's going to see those things. And that just comes with experience. And he's going to be fine. But it's great to have him part of the team. Great to have him finally officially on the payroll and with the company. And it's been a really fun and educational thing for me, too, to work with him and the interactions and adding that new dynamic to the company. So that's a long version of the answer to your question, Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, you know, when you travel with John Carney, it's like, you know, that's probably about as close as traveling to, you know, with a rock star as you can get. I mean, you know, if you want to know what it's like to travel with, like, Paul McCartney, I mean, like, that's, I mean, just go somewhere with John for a weekend. You'll be like, wow, this is luxury.
This is luxury. It's fine.
No, if you're lucky, it's not really. If you're lucky, you'll raid. Hold on. Let me say this. Enough time has passed. I can talk about this publicly. If you're lucky, and this is all hypothetical. None of this is true. You might get to stay with John at a JW Marriott. You might get to raid a concierge lounge. And if you're really lucky, you'll see John eat cereal off the floor. You never know. Not that it's ever happened.
Never know.
It's never happened, but the might happen.
But no, there's luxuries of traveling a lot, and people are like, oh, that must be great. You just realize the amount of sacrifice that goes in to get those luxuries. So, you know, like getting to pick whatever rental car you want, that's a really cool thing. But, you know, you had to get your butt kicked for freaking 5 years to get that status. Like, I've already hit platinum status this year with Delta. Like, that's the second highest tier.
Right.
So, I mean, it's middle of March. So, you know, you get to see a lot of luxuries with it. And there are some fun stuff. And by the way, like you said, like, these companies ought to treat you that way if you're doing that type of travel. So, anyway, it's definitely got its ups and downs. But as I said, I remember when you see people traveling a lot, understand that we sit and look at some of those people sometimes and we're like, you know, it's great that you get to be home every night, or it's great when, you know, that you don't have to fly 197 times a year.
Right.
I personally enjoy doing it. So that's, you know, that's a plus side on my level, but, you know, there's give and take on both sides. So back to the PCA, what do you think? I know you've talked about this a lot. How do you think them shortening it? 'Cause I got an opinion on this too. shortening it from the 3.5 days just to 3 full days is going to be. What do you feel on that?
You know, it's funny. As media, I kind of have to break this down a little bit. As media,
it's you appreciated the half day. Like, the half day was big for you. You got to wrap up a ton of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. That was like the opportunity to wrap up loose ends on a day that's historically very quiet. So, if something got missed just because it's so busy, you know, hey, like, that's our, like, our last chance. And it was great for us because, you know, we were able to use that to our advantage a hell of a lot. Going into it this year, it just means that it's going to be a little more stressful, and we have to, you know, make sure we really hustle, and everyone has to be 100% the whole time, all day, every day. Because we don't have that to like lean on, like, well, you know, there's always Monday, or Tuesday, whatever the fourth half day was. It doesn't exist anymore. So, for us as media, we have to hustle. I think that for manufacturers and retailers, I think that it's going to be welcomed as a breath of fresh air, because I know that for those people, look, retailers, a lot of retailers from, you know, people I talk to on both retailers and manufacturers, you know, there's not a lot of them that come in and stay at PCA for like 5 fucking days, you know, to be at the show the whole time. There's a lot of retailers that come in for like the first 2 days and then they're gone. Like, they're all set. They don't need to be there. You know, and then, like, there's people who come in maybe on Saturday. Maybe they stop by in the afternoon if there's time, but, like, they're there for Sunday, Monday, and then that's it. Like, they don't need, like, 3.5 days. So I think that for them, I think it's going to work. But then for the manufacturers, it's like, all right, now you're here for this, like, fourth – and it's a half day, but it's still a fourth full day of work, right? You got to be there in the morning. You got to set up the booth. You got to be ready. You got to do your shit all day. And then you got to tear down. Then you got to tear down at the end of the day. So it's like,
but a lot of manufacturers, most of the manufacturers would have a skeleton crew. Like, we always had a lighter group, and most of the team would leave throughout the day on flights. So we're still there. The team's still going to be there the same amount of time. It's just, it's not that half day. Now the show closes on Monday. Okay. So the booths need to be torn down by the next morning by 10 a.m. So, but you're starting later in the day, which will be interesting. But on a media side, I would understand, you know, where that extra half day is a great point, because I did see a lot of, hey, maybe I missed this. I got to go talk to this person. Maybe I didn't get this information right. I got to go here. Or maybe there's something that's interesting that you need to see. But on the manufacturing side, it's now 3 full days, which I think you're going to see that last – there's going to be – Here's what I'm saying. Here's where from my experience from the communication, I think a lot of people are leaving on Monday. Like, I think there's a good amount of people leaving.
Like
on
Monday,
Monday
morning, so, like before the show. Yeah. Like, they won't be there for the show that day.
Yeah, won't be there for the show. And I'm not saying a lot, but I think you're seeing like 20 to 30% of the people I'm talking to are like, hey, I'm going to leave on Monday. So you got people coming in Friday, right? And then you got people, so they're going to be there for the show Saturday, Sunday when the show floor opens, and then a lot of them leave Monday. Now, the majority are still staying throughout the show. You know, the most common time for people to come is Thursday or Friday, and then stay till, you know, stay through Monday and leave Tuesday. But it's also unique this year, too. I don't know if people brought this up. This is right smack in the middle of Ramadan. There's a lot of Muslims in our business, and I'm interested to see what the attendance is of Muslim premium cigar owners. As I said, it's in the middle of Ramadan, so you're in Las Vegas and you got to fast during the day, and you're going to be around smoke in a dry environment. It'll be really interesting, and I'm interested to see what the attendance level is on that from that side. But I from my discussions with people, about 20 to 30% of what I've talked to are going to be not present on Monday. So I'm interested to see how that final day is. And, you know, if there's a good crowd, if it's 60 to 70% of people stayed, that's great. You know, I think that works. Then you have one less day. That half day is technically a full day anyway. So I think it's going to be a good move overall, but I'm still interested to see how it happens. And on the media side, I understand that one extra day is great, but, you know, it's a small part of the association is being the media side of it. So if it's better for manufacturers and better for retailers, then it's going to have to be done. And said, you're just going to have to hustle a little harder or maybe miss some things.
sorry, I was, something happened upstairs. But yeah, no, I agree. And you know, I think, and when you ask me the question, I have to think media first, because that's what I do.
Well,
but no, you're right. But there are many facets. There are many facets of it. And you know, and obviously, like, manufacturer's point of view, the retailer's point of view, you know, there is us too. I would say, in a humble way, you know, I try to be fair. You know, I think we're the least important at the show. Because obviously the big part of the show is you guys go to sell products.
It's not level of importance.
Well, I think our problems are not as important as...
It's the financial impact. It's the financial impact or the financial control of each side. So the manufacturers have the most financial investment. So what's best for them needs to be taken into a higher regard.
Yes.
Retailers then have the second highest financial. So what needs to be taken in regard to them. So what's third would be media. So it's not less important. It's just the amount of financial impact that it has on the people is where they really needs to come from.
I think a good way to say it would be financial priority.
Well, 100%.
Yeah.
But also, here's the thing. People love leaving things early. You go to a sporting event, people leave early, right? Once the game's done or whatever, or it's in hand, people leave. There's always a percentage of people that just leave early from things. So you're going to have people that just naturally are going to leave early because they're not going to stay there for the whole thing. And I think the PCA made a good decision by making it, getting rid of the half day and just accepting the fact that there's going to be a percentage of people that leave early, no matter how long the show is. So, you know, the percentage I think is what's going to be key is that third day. Is it 20%? If it's 20%, great. If it's like 60% and it's a ghost town, then something's got to be done. And I don't think the solution is making it a two-day show, because that's not enough time at all. And then that's not financially, in my opinion, the right decision. But I think this is the right decision. I think it's going to be good. And I think you're going to see about 20% probably just leave on Monday.
Yeah. You know, it's... PCA has made a lot of changes the last few years. I know that when we first heard about that one, you know, like, we talked about it, like, on show. Like, I know, like, we've talked about it on the Spare Note show with Coop and stuff like that. And we were like, oh, we lost the half day. You know, as media, that kind of sucks. Having more time, to think about it, I've come to the realization of all the things that you've said, too. And I'm like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. And I can see. I mean, look at TPE. TPE is a different show. I know it's hard to use that. But
it's
like
not
TPE.
Comparable, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, that is kind of, it's the same schedule. It's three full days. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and it is for premium cigars. It is a slower show, regardless. Even prior to this year, and I won't get into all that, but it is a slower show. It's not as hard to cover. But you know, we've always been able to kind of do, you know, clock management with that one when we've gone and covered it. We'll just have to use those, you know, skills that we learned from doing it with TPE with less time to doing it with PCA, which is three times as busy. Although I will say, I don't know if we'll really, in terms of me, even maybe for you guys, I don't know if we'll really fully feel the impact of it this year, just because I feel like PCA this year is going to be, talking to Scott, I think the attendance is going to be great. There's going to be a lot of people at the show. But I also feel that, you know, like you were saying at the beginning of the show, there hasn't been a lot of announcements. There hasn't been a lot of stuff that people are talking about. And granted, yes, to your other point, I think that there will be stuff that just debuts during the show. I still don't see it being like the last couple of years. And I think with that quick turnaround time, you know, I'm sure, and as manufacturers, I know you guys knew that this was a thing before it was even like, oh, hey, this is what's going on. We're moving to the spring. But at the same time, like, you know, it does take time, you know, to set wheels in motion for a certain time. And I've talked to other manufacturers. I know that this year, a lot of people, like, there's people bringing stuff, but there's not as much. I know there's a lot of people who said, hey, like, we were just there in July. We just released, like, four fucking things.
I know, but see, I disagree, and I think this is going to be a better show in terms of what's released, because it's going to be quality over quantity, because the quantity of stuff's already lined up, right? I think you're going to see such a high level of quality, and it's going to be new, exciting things, like, you know, our 30th anniversary, nobody's even seen it, okay? that's a crazy project that we'll get to in a little bit. But there's other great fun projects that are going to be announced here. So I think you're going to get, you know, I think this is a good situation for the show to have, hey, exciting things got announced for whatever reason. But there's two major changes, the time of the year changed and the length of the show. So you got two major changes, and I think you're going to have a good impact. And also, in my opinion, you know, PCA needs to, and they have, they're doing a great job over there, but they need to change what the success of the show is. The success of the show doesn't have to be based off of having a massive growth of people that showed up. You know, there's other factors that they can look at that makes things successful. And I think they're going to see a lot of success with this. I think the industry is going to see success with this. And there's always ups and downs. There's always positives and negatives one way or the other. What's perfect for someone's not perfect for someone else. So I'm really excited for it. I've not been more excited about the logistics of the trade show for 10 years as I am now. There's a lot of logistical things that are different, and I think they've done a good job, and I'm really interested to see how it plays out.
I agree with that statement. I feel the same way. We had Scott on last week. We talked a lot about, you know, attendance and changes and stuff for the future with, you know, New Orleans coming up. You know, I think they are moving in the right direction. Not everything has been perfect, but they're moving very well in the right direction. I want to do a couple of things before we continue. First of all, I want to give a shout out to SD DuPont. SD DuPont is who we at Smoking Tobacco rely on for all of our cutting, lighting, and other accessory needs. Featuring the Biggie lighter that just came out with the flat flame. Fantastic lighter.
It's a nice lighter.
It really is. I mean, look at this thing. It's sleek.
It looks sick.
It's designed to look
like
a
line too.
It's designed to look like the Legrand, which is the other flip top, which is a little bit bigger. It doesn't flip. It just has the side trigger, and then it has this nice flat flame that comes out of it, and it's beautiful to light with. I'm telling you, I'm falling in love with the flat flames now because of SD DuPont. If you see one, you got to get your hands on it. It's a great lighter to last you a lifetime. And don't forget to shake up the legacy with SD DuPont. The other thing I wanted to do is, while we're on the topic, I want to talk about Cigar Industry News, which is once again brought to you by McAuliffe, featuring the McAuliffe Black, rated 91 at SmokingTobacco.com. McAuliffe Black, it's a blackout. So I'm going to kind of use this as my way to kind of end the general PCA chat. I'm just going to hit on a couple of the things that were announced and lightly talk about maybe some things I see. First thing is, speaking of McAuliffe announces the McAuliffe Blue for PCA 2024, which will be the follow-up to the McAuliffe Black that we saw last year, which went on to be, you know, very critically acclaimed and performed very well. So now we'll see the McAuliffe Blue debuting. Sock is bringing a couple of things. He's bringing the Umbugog Bronze back. He has a Lancero sampler that he's bringing to the show. That he also just announced that was, you know, teased on Facebook. And a couple of other things that, we will cover later on. Hoya de Nicaragua is back at the show again this year as well. They were there last year, but this year they'll also be there in their own booth again. So they won't be with Drew Estate. They're bringing the Cabinet Lancero as a limited release. Rocky Patel will be releasing the gold label, which I would like to say is probably a follow-up to the white label release that we saw 2 years ago at PCA. They're also going to be bringing a Year of the Dragon. There's a lot of Year of the Dragons. JM Tobacco is bringing one. Rocky Patel is bringing one. Gurkha's kind of I don't want to say redoing, because they showed a Year of the Dragon last year, but now they're going to be bringing another concept of Year of the Dragon with multiple manufacturers.
So I got a question.
Yeah.
Did you ask this? The only thing I saw when you had Juan on the show was that I was fat. Did you ask him, like, so there was a public lawsuit against Davidoff, right? I know you can't really talk about it, but it's worth asking.
Correct.
But how is nobody else getting sued?
So from my understanding, I actually talked about this with Eddie Guerra from Davidoff. I talked about this with the folks at Gurkha. From my understanding, these other manufacturers that are releasing Year of the Dragons in the United States specifically, were given permission to do so. And the reason why Davidoff is being sued over it is because they did not have the permission. They did it anyway because they felt that there was no reason to. That's not me stating a fact. That's what I've been told.
And I would look at it. Now, I'm not obviously neither you nor I are lawyers, but I would look at it like they would have a hard time with a lawsuit if, I have no wish the legal process is there to make sure things are done right, but I would imagine they'd have a hard time saying that somebody did something wrong if you gave everybody else permission except them. Like, that seems like that would be an avenue that, like, a keen lawyer would be like, well, everybody else had permission, but we didn't. So it would be like, I don't know if this is, like, implied permission, I guess. I don't know.
You're right. I don't know how that works. I don't know if there's, like, a formal, like, paper trail that has to be, like, hey, like, we put on record that we're allowing you to use it. Yeah. And Davidoff doesn't have that. So it's like, well, we never gave you permission, so... I don't know. You're right. I don't know how that works. I'd be curious to know as well. But that's kind of a good point.
Another thing on the news that I found interesting is two of the stories are about naming things after colors, right? What a great way. It's not super original, and I don't mean that negatively, but what a great way for people to simplify confusing cigar brands. Like, a challenge for me with McAuliffe was that it was always kind of hard to identify what lines were which. Mm-hmm. Not in a negative way, but now they have Black. But it was a really good cigar, and it was really easy to identify. I like the Black Robusto, the Black Churchill, and so on. And they come out with Blue, and you got Rocky naming things after colors. So you have a lot of, simplifying things for people is not necessarily a bad thing, in my opinion. And there's other companies that have done it. La Palina's had different names and different colors. But it really worked well for McAuliffe, and I think the Blue is going to do good for them. And I would encourage more companies that if they feel things are confusing and they're trying to grow significantly and make things, make their company more successful, don't go away from that stuff. Like, anything that can simplify the way for people to buy your cigars is a huge thing. Now, if you're a legacy type brand that's been around forever, you get away with different things. You've been around for 30, 40 years, things are a little bit different. But as a younger company, simple is not a bad thing.
And it's funny as you say that. You mentioned the Rocky Patel, the white label, and now they got the gold label. Sans Pareil, I think that's how you say that. Is it Pareil? Pareil?
I always call it Sans Pareil, but I don't know.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I'm horrible with pronunciation. They announced that they're adding the green to the core line. So they have that's another one right there. That's the green line. That's coming out as well. So yeah, I mean, you're right. I actually didn't really think about that, but now that you say it, and I'm looking at some of the really, I'm like, oh yeah, there's a lot of just colors, which is cool. And you're right.
Yeah, I don't dislike it. It's simple, man. Like, I want if you think about it for a second, how do in our job people come in and say what cigar? Hey, I like such and such a cigar from you. Which one was it? Well, the one with the red band. Just call it the McAuliffe Red. and make it red. Make it simple. That's how the majority of consumers describe certain things they're not familiar with. So if you can make it more simple for them, the likelihood of them buying it is higher. So, I'd have nothing against it. And I think, if people want to simplify things, go ahead. Color coding is a very easy way to do it. And, it's, again, that's how people describe it. Oh, I like the one with the white band. Okay, then guess what? And by the way, they might accidentally buy your cigar because they like something else, or they thought they just don't know, and it was the one with the white band. And guess what? The Rocky Patel white label's there, or the, the McAuliffe Black because they like the one with the black band. So it's, it's a great way to get people into it, and it's simplifying things makes it just...
To your point, how many people went into a cigar shop? Someone, at that store, say, hey, Rocky Patel white label. Oh, they went home, they smoked the Rocky Patel white label and they loved it. And then some time went by, they went back to the store and they're like, I don't remember what it was. I don't remember the brand. I just remember it was a white label. And that person went, oh, let me bring you over to Davidoff.
Well, you never know. Yeah. Or anything. Yeah. Like, color coding is huge. And I don't think it's a negative thing. And they said, people describe it that way. And if you're trying to grow, it's a good, somebody buying it on accident and you have a good cigar is a good thing, and then they might buy it again. So yeah. Anyway, that's how I feel about the news.
Well, that's the news. That's all of PCA. Let's focus on LFD for the remainder of the show. You guys are coming to the trade show, obviously. I know you have your 30th. You guys are going to be celebrating. And you also, last year at the trade show, you guys showed us the Lido, although it was not been released yet. But it was on display. It was being talked about. So what is the game plan for LFD at PCA this year? Do we see a full release of both of those items, and do we learn some more, or get something else up your sleeve? What's going on?
It's going to be a monster year for us. We're dialed in. I get into the show about 3 or 4 days early. I'm flying in Tuesday and overseeing the booth setup, because we're doing some special, just design things a little differently in the booth.
Right.
And it's going to be a big year for us. It's the 30th anniversary. We have a heck of a project coming out. Lido and Tony have worked on this beautiful 30th anniversary concept. It's coming in a humidor that's made at Insignia, which is Tony's box factory. And it's LE Blue type quality humidor at a much different price. And we have a special cigar that I can't get into what the sizes and shapes are of it, but it's going to pay homage to a lot of different parts and aspects of LFD from over the last 30 years. It's, you know, expect to see some of the old branding involved into it. Expect to see some of the more modern and some of the more right now type things played into it as well. And then the future, as I said, with the packaging. So it's really a past, present, and future concept. It's going to be a limited edition item at first. And, we're going to make up to 2,000 boxes of this. But this may be something that we continue to make, like we did with our 25th anniversary, in smaller quantities, because demand stuck with that. But initially, we're looking at 2,000 boxes, and it's going to be beautiful. Now, on top of that, I said we'll be celebrating the 30th year. It's also going to be Lido's 70th birthday when we're there. So he's throwing a private little party on Friday night, and that'll kind of kick everything off. I think it's a great way to start. So we got 70th on the Saturday. We start celebrating the 30th. And it's just going to be a really high year for us. I would be surprised if we weren't one of the highlights at the trade show with what we have going on. Now, on top of that, the Golden Purveyors, which is a group that does the distribution of the Golden Andalusian Bulls. Mm-hmm. They're going to be doing a small little get together at our booth on Sunday. And that small celebration is going to involve the existing purveyors that are selling the products. They're inviting other purveyors that are potential people that would be joining the group. They're going to be smoking the Goldens there. And the highlight of that, which ties into LFD, not because of just the Goldens and the purveyors group, is Tony is going to be coming out with, and myself, with a blended bourbon whiskey. And this is for, it's for private sale, essentially, at first. It's through a partner called Forward Slash that's in Winter Park, Florida, near where I'm at. And it's a project Tony and I have been working on just for fun for about the last year and a half. And we'll be sampling that. You guys have been invited to that, I believe. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, I will invite you. But there'll be some media there, and then there'll be new potential purveyors for the Goldens. And so we're working with the NFT owners on them with that, and then we'll be introducing them to the bourbon, which is called Bull's Breath. So that'll be launched and announced that day as well, which is, like I said, a fun little project. It's just a barrel. We're just doing one barrel, so it's going to be very hard to get your hands on. And so we're working with a company called Forward Slash, but there'll be more details of it and official information and artwork and everything on that Sunday announced at that event. So you figure with the did we end live on Facebook? It says we're ended live. That's sad.
We shouldn't be.
Okay, it's back. Never mind. It just ended on my end. But
I was going to say, no, we're still up.
Friday's going to be a big day celebrating Lido's 70th. Saturday's going to be a big day debuting the 30th anniversary, which is a huge, incredible, cool project. I'm always excited about stuff, but this one's just really, really well done from top down. And bottom up. I mean, every aspect of it is very detailed, and it's a beautiful project. And then Sunday in the evening, late afternoon, we're going to have a group gathered there of some of the NFT owners, and having and allowing them to sample the Bull's Breath and smoke the cigars there for the last hour. So you've got three really high, high type high profile type things going on. I think this is going to be a huge show for us. Recognition wise, certainly is going to be a big show for us. And you know, I expect to see a lot of great things. Whereas the last couple of years, you know, 2 years ago, we weren't there for 2 years. And then we came back and, you know, it was a little bit, not a lull, but it was just us catching up in production. And we're in a much better spot now going forward, which would be nice. But the other thing you mentioned too, which is just a cherry on top, is we're going to be taking orders for LG, and we're going to have the actual details on the Lito Gomez line and the remake of that and the refacing of that. So we'll have details on the sizes that we're doing. We'll have details on pricing, and we'll start the process of setting that up to be distributed within late spring, early summer. Anticipation on the 30th anniversary is probably going to be late summer, early fall, which generally traditionally for us has been closer towards the end of the year. But with the change of things, we're usually dialed in from July, August, and September. So it could be sooner. But the cigars are physically in production. So those are actually being made. I think you're going to see that, you'll see that well before the end of the year, in my opinion. But I don't think there's anybody that's got a full range of stuff going on like we do with birthdays, anniversaries, bourbon, cigars, the LG, the 30th anniversary. It's just, it's a really exciting. I'm very excited for the show. I think it's going to be great. And for us, I think it's going to be, we really have everything together. And the change of the time for us from the summer to now has been bigger because it's put some pressure on the factory and put pressure on Lito and Tony where, hey, we've got to get these things announced. We've got to get these things going because the show's coming in March and we can't wait, till middle of the year. This is going to start now. So it's been a good dynamic for us.
One of the things, I didn't want to interrupt you on your whole thing, but I wanted to ask you, something came to mind. You mentioned when you're talking about the project that you're gonna recognize some stuff from the past, some stuff from the present and whatnot. Is there going to be a nod to Los Libertadores?
No, I mean, the whole company is kind of a nod to that just because that's nostalgic. But this is, the factory itself, as I said, is kind of a nod to that. So the box itself is going to be essentially, the Humidor is going to be designed after what the factory currently looks like. So picture like the LE Blue Humidors, only the LFD factory.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, I hate to compare it to that because, but it is, that's exactly what the,
you guys are just doing it yourself.
It. Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful concept. And we've done this before where we've done some nice boxes with, there's a shop in Arkansas called, 907 Lounge in Fort Smith, Arkansas, where we made a box. And this was actually the factory at the time, that we made it from before Tony purchased it. Was made there. It was this box that was made to replicate the outside of their store. It had like bricks on it, and it was awesome. We made a big version of it with them, and it was just really beautiful. And it's a cigar we still make for them, and it's a great partnership. So we've been doing it, but it's now we're physically, doing it in house, and it's going to be really fun, and it's going to be beautiful. So it's a nod to where the factory's at. The size and the shape is a nod to some things that we've had over the years, and Lito's accomplished with patented cigar shapes, so you can use your imagination. Not, you don't have to use it that much. That'll make sense real quick. But the size of it's part of the history of the company. The blend's part of the history of the company. The different types of tobaccos in it are part of the history of the company. And then I said the package itself is kind of represents where we're at now and where we're headed. So very fun project. Looking forward to getting everything out on it. And I'm always excited about the show. Everybody always says, oh, it's going to be a great show. It is going to be an actual great show for us. It's going to be, we got a lot of exciting things and the legitimate exciting things. And I know that our retailers are excited for it. And they're going to be even more excited once they start seeing and hearing about it.
In other words, basically, I have to get to that booth right away per usual. So I can get to you before it gets too crazy.
I'll answer this question. You want me to answer this question?
Absolutely.
So the strongest cigar we make is the NAS.
I was gonna say the NAS. Yeah, nasty as shit.
The only reason I got this in my mouth instead of this is I wasn't looking for a nicotine buzz. But this is the NAS. So, Joseph, you were asking, this is the NAS. This is a cheroot, so it's not really a blend or a cigar exactly. It's just tobacco leaves wrapped around itself. And this is Pelo de Oro, which means hair of gold. And this is tobacco that we traditionally use for wrapper tobacco. And we do use a little bit of it in the Andalusian bowl in filler. But this is the NAS. So if you're looking for something strong, it's called the NAS. It's a cheroot. It's just filler and wrapper tobacco. All the same. It's all Ligero. So it's all the top. And he's, there's the NAS box. So if didn't you want strong.
One, didn't that one make you throw up the first time you had it?
No, I've never thrown up smoking a cigar.
No, it was somebody. No, I mean, it wasn't you. Somebody.
Not me.
Somebody told me they had that, and it made them sick. And I was like, really?
No, not me. Not me. I don't get sick. If I'm not feeling well, I just won't smoke a cigar. Or if I get a cigar and it makes me feel like, yeah, that's not quite right. I just put it down. So I don't push through anything.
Oh, you're not that tough.
Nah, well, I am that tough. It's called smart. And there's nothing to prove to anybody.
It's called smart.
I have nothing to prove to anyone. So,
well, John, I know you're kind of on a time constraint, so I don't want to keep you too late. I feel like we really crammed a lot into this show tonight, but we got it all, I think. So,
I think it was a great show.
Yeah, no, it was.
People wanted what they needed.
You got excited for the trade show.
Yeah, and there's going to be good stuff. We said I'm excited because I'm excited because I want you guys to see it. I love getting things out to the media and having you guys have an opportunity and you women have an opportunity to promote this stuff and grow your businesses with it. So it's always fun when it finally, you finally get to see a post on. I get excited when I get to see you post up the video of the interviews at the booth, even if I'm not in it, Junior or Lito or Tony or myself. It's always exciting to see that stuff. So I not having to wait till July is going to be really freaking awesome, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, there's excitement when you go to let the cat out of the bag. You're excited to see people's reaction. You're excited to just share something that you've been thinking about for so long and finally put it out there and being like, yeah, like this is it. We're excited and share that energy and you hope you get it back. And it's not like, which I don't think is going to happen, but you know what I mean?
No, I don't think so either, but no, it is. There is a lot of excitement around it on our end too. I mean, it's just a fun thing to be a part of we're really much looking forward to it this coming week. So
yeah, it's going to be a great week. It's going to be a busy week. Don't forget to make sure you keep tabs on smokingtobacco.com. We'll do a full coverage of PCA 2024, brought to you by Drew Estate, the rebirth of cigars. It's going to be a crazy week. I can't believe we're already going back again. It's like I feel like I just left there. But here we are. We're doing our thing. And it is what it is. Last year in Vegas for a few years. We're going to be going to New Orleans for 25 and 26. So going to enjoy that and then change the scenery. And we'll see what happens with those shows. But we'll worry about those next year when the time comes. We're focusing on PCA 24 right now. And I think, like John said, it's going to be a great show. I'm excited for it, for LFD and for everyone else. John, thanks for being here with us tonight. I appreciate it. It's always great to have you on the show again. Specifically you. You were here day one. So anytime we get to have you on the show and spend some time together, it's always special. And I'm excited because on a personal note, I get to spend some personal time with you next week too.
Yeah, we'll get to smoke some cigars together. It'll be a great time.
I know, which we're long overdue for. So I can't wait for that. But anyway, it was a great show. Thank you for sharing all that information with us. And we look forward to seeing more and learning more at the show in the booth. Don't forget to like and subscribe on all of our platforms. Visit smokingtobacco.com for more news, reviews, and updates from the cigar industry. And that's going to be our show for this week. We'll be back next week with our show. I believe the whole gang will be here. We'll do a little pre-PCA show. I've yet to confirm that with the team, but that's our plan for next week. We'll do one final recap before we or a pregame recap before we head out to Las Vegas, and then we get back the week after, and we'll do the follow-up. So that's it. That's our programming for the next few weeks, and can't wait for it. It's going to be a great time. I'm tired. I'm going to sign off here. John's going to go eat and do his thing, and we'll see you guys next time. All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you for spending your time with us at Smoke and Tobacco. Please remember to like and subscribe for more episodes and content. And as always, visit smokeandtobacco.com for news and updates from the cigar industry.